By the 1990s, John Holt didn't have to prove anything. His catalog was vast, his reputation secure, his voice instantly recognizable. But instead of slowing down, he turned his attention to something else, giving back. This episode steps away from the glare of the spotlight and into Holt's private world. We'll see him mentoring young artists, passing on not just vocal tips, but lessons in discipline, professionalism, and integrity. We'll hear from those who stood beside him in the studio and on stage, and from those who simply crossed his path and left with a story worth telling. We'll follow him into his final performances, moments when his voice, though seasoned by decades, still carried the same pride and sincerity it had in Greenwich Town. And we'll stand among the thousands who gathered in 2014 to honor his life, as music poured into the streets in tribute. This is the story of the man behind the microphone, the mentor, the quiet cultural ambassador, and the voice that became part of Jamaica's heartbeat. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave a comment. The next story might change your mind. Don't miss a single turn. Chapter 13, Late Career and Mentorship Kingston, 1994, Small Studio in Halfway Tree. The midday sun poured through a half-open louvered window, catching dust motes that floated lazily in the warm air. Inside, the studio was alive with the low throb of a bass line and the occasional burst of laughter from the control booth. John Holt sat on a stool, leaning slightly forward, listening intently as a young singer ran through a verse. When the take ended, Holt didn't jump in with criticism. He waited a beat, then offered a few words, measured, specific, and encouraging. The young singer nodded, took a breath, and stepped back to the microphone. It was the kind of quiet guidance Holt had been giving for years, a mix of patience and precision that reflected his own journey. By the mid-1990s, Holt was no longer chasing chart dominance. He was building something less visible but equally lasting, a role as a mentor, an anchor, and a standard bearer for reggae's vocal tradition. Shifting focus. After decades of touring and recording, Holt began choosing projects more selectively. The demands of constant travel gave way to a balanced schedule that left room for personal life and mentorship. His own performances continued, but he was increasingly drawn to working with emerging talent. Many younger singers were stepping into a reggae landscape that had changed. Dancehall was dominating local airwaves, digital rhythms were replacing full band arrangements, and international audiences were dividing their attention between roots revival acts and crossover pop hits. Holt understood these shifts, but he also believed that strong vocals and timeless songwriting could outlast any trend, guiding the next generation. Holt's mentorship wasn't a formal program. It was something that happened organically. A singer might seek him out after a show, or a producer might pair him with a new voice in the studio. He would share techniques for breath control, phrasing, and emotional delivery. He often reminded younger artists that a good song is more than a melody. It's a feeling you carry in your voice before the music even starts. Many protégés recall how Holt would demonstrate by singing a single line, instantly showing how subtle changes in tone or timing could transform the impact. Collaborations with younger artists. In the 1990s and early 2000s, Holt recorded several tracks with rising stars. These collaborations often blended his classic delivery with newer production styles, bridging generational gaps. Producers valued these pairings. Holt's presence brought credibility to younger acts, while the fresh energy of his collaborators kept his own work connected to evolving reggae trends. One particularly well-received track paired Holt with a roots revival singer, their voices trading verses about love and perseverance over a modern one-drop rhythm. It became a modest hit in both Jamaica and the UK, proving that his adaptability remained intact. Festival appearances. Holt's later years included regular appearances at major reggae festivals such as Reggae Sumfest, Rebel Salute, and international events in Europe and Africa. These stages often placed him alongside both his contemporaries and artists two generations younger. At these shows, Holt's sets became lessons in vocal control and audience connection. He could still glide through ballads with the same ease as decades before, but he also knew when to inject energy into roots tracks that spoke to broader struggles. Audiences responded not just to the songs, but to the respect he commanded without demanding it, balancing past and present in performances. Holt's concert set lists in this period were carefully constructed. He gave fans the classics they came for. Stick By Me, The Tide Is High, Police and Helicopter. But he also introduced new material and reworked older songs with updated arrangements. This kept his performances fresh, both for audiences and for himself. He avoided nostalgia as the sole draw, instead using his history as a foundation for continued creativity, upholding professional standards. Part of Holt's mentorship involved modeling professionalism. He was known for punctuality, preparedness, and respect for everyone involved in a production, from sound engineers to stagehands. In an industry where talent is abundant but reliability is rare, these qualities made him a valuable collaborator. Younger artists often remarked that working with Holt taught them as much about conduct as about craft. Cultural preservation. In addition to personal mentorship, Holt took an active interest in preserving reggae's history. He supported projects that documented the genre's roots, contributed to archival releases, and participated in interviews that captured firsthand accounts of Jamaica's musical evolution. He saw this as part of his responsibility, ensuring that future generations understood not just the music, but the circumstances and communities that shaped it. By the late 2000s, John Holt had fully embraced his dual role. Still a performer of the highest caliber, but also a mentor and guardian of reggae's vocal heritage. His later years were not a slow fade, but a steady giving back, passing on skills, values, and a belief in the power of a song well sung. The next chapter would bring us into the quieter side of his life, revealing the private man behind the public figure. Chapter 14. Personal Life and Private Man Kingston, Sunday afternoon, early 2000s. The street outside was quiet except for the occasional passing car. Inside the gate of a modest but well-kept home, children's laughter drifted from the backyard, mixing with the scent of curry goat and rice steaming from the kitchen. A radio played softly in the living room, tuned to a station that was, on this day, spinning a familiar voice, John Holt's. He sat in a wicker chair near the back veranda, out of sight of the road, sipping a cup of tea. The world outside might have been full of tours, interviews, and stage lights, but here it was still. The conversations were about family milestones, neighbors, and what needed fixing around the house. Never about record sales or concert reviews. This was the John Holt few fans ever saw. Not the sharply dressed man holding a microphone under spotlights, but the quiet family man who valued privacy over publicity. A conscious separation of public and private life. Holt learned early in his career that fame could be consuming. The constant requests for appearances, the unending cycle of travel, and the press attention could easily pull an artist into living entirely for the stage. He made a deliberate choice to separate his public work from his private life. While he gave freely of himself on stage, he guarded his home life closely. Interviews rarely touched on his family, and photographers seldom captured him outside of performance contexts. This wasn't secrecy born of distrust. It was preservation. Holt wanted a place where the world's expectations couldn't follow him, where he could simply be a father, a partner, a neighbor. Family as anchor. Those close to Holt describe him as deeply devoted to his family. His schedule often revolved around ensuring he could be present for important moments, birthdays, graduations, anniversaries. Even when touring internationally, he kept in frequent contact, calling home from hotel rooms or leaving voice messages if time zones made direct conversation difficult. He carried photos of loved ones in his travel bag, a small but constant reminder of the life waiting for him beyond the stage. Family gatherings were warm and unpretentious. Holt enjoyed cooking for relatives, sometimes insisting on preparing a favorite dish himself, even if others offered to help. Food, conversation, and music, not performances but shared sing-alongs, were the hallmarks of these moments. A man of routine. In his private life, Holt valued routine. Mornings often began with tea or coffee, a brief walk outside, and quiet reading of the day's news. When home in Kingston, he liked to tend to the small garden in his yard, taking satisfaction in watching plants grow and bloom. Neighbors recall seeing him wave from his veranda or stop for brief, friendly chats. Despite his fame, he never created barriers with those around him. He blended into the rhythm of the community, a familiar face rather than a distant celebrity. Faith and grounding values. While Holt did not often speak publicly about religion, those close to him say his faith was a steady, personal presence in his life. It shaped his values, respect for others, humility, and a commitment to doing good without fanfare. He supported charitable efforts quietly, donating to community projects and helping individuals in need without attaching his name to the contributions. To him, generosity was a personal duty, not a publicity opportunity. Navigating fame's pressures. The 24-hour accessibility of the modern entertainment world, with its instant photography, tabloid reporting, and online chatter, was not something Holt embraced. He preferred to let his work speak for itself rather than chase headlines. This approach sometimes puzzled younger artists, who were encouraged to be constantly visible. But Holt's career longevity was proof that a strong catalog and consistent performances could sustain an artist without the need for constant exposure. Personal passions outside music. Beyond his love for music, Holt had a quiet appreciation for craftsmanship. He enjoyed woodworking, repairing furniture, and small home projects. Friends recall him spending hours adjusting the sound on his home stereo system, not because it needed fixing, but because he enjoyed the process of perfecting it. He also had a love for cricket, following both Jamaican teams and international matches. Game days often found him with a radio nearby, listening between other tasks, protecting the next generation. Holt was protective of younger family members when it came to the public eye. He believed that fame was something to be managed, not chased, and he often advised them to build their own identities outside of his legacy. When relatives showed interest in music, he supported them, but with the same measured advice he gave to any young artist. Master your craft, respect the work, and never let the spotlight define you. In a world where celebrity often erases the private self, John Holt held firm to the life he had built beyond the stage. His home was not an extension of his career but a refuge from it, a place where the man could breathe free of the legend. And in those quiet spaces, among family and close friends, he nurtured the values that would carry into the final years of his career and the legacy he left behind. Chapter 15, Final Performances. London, August 2014, One Love Festival. The summer evening air carried the scent of food stalls, jerk chicken, fried plantain, and sweet festival bread. A low hum of conversation rippled through the crowd as the sun dipped toward the horizon. On the main stage, the band was already in place, checking instruments, the bass guitar sending deep, steady pulses into the warm night. When John Holt appeared, the applause was instant and deep. Some in the crowd had grown up with his music playing in their parents' homes. Others had discovered him through the vinyl revival sweeping the UK. For all of them, this was more than a concert. It was a meeting with a voice that had been part of their lives for decades. Holt stepped up to the microphone in a dark suit and crisp white shirt. His posture was steady, his expression calm. As the first chords of Stick By Me began, he smiled faintly. The song rolled out smooth and confident, the years in his voice adding a richness that wasn't there in his youth, but the clarity was still intact. A seasoned performer. By the time of his final tours, Holt's performances had a distilled quality. Every movement, every pause, every glance toward the audience was deliberate. There was no need for grand gestures. The audience came for the sound, the history, and the feeling his voice carried. He often began sets with classics, moving seamlessly from rocksteady hits to roots anthems, carefully pacing the energy. Ballads still drew the deepest connection, with couples swaying and singing every word. But protest songs like Police and Helicopter still sent a ripple of energy through the crowd. International farewell circuits. In his last years, Holt toured selectively, focusing on festivals and venues that offered the right setting for his music. The UK remained a stronghold, but he also performed in Canada, the United States, and parts of the Caribbean. Each show felt like an unspoken farewell. While Holt didn't make public announcements about slowing down, fans sensed the significance. In smaller venues, people crowded near the stage, leaning forward during quieter moments, as if to hold on to every note, adjusting the performance. Time changes every voice, and Holt understood how to adapt. He lowered certain keys to match his range, adjusted phrasing to preserve breath control, and used the natural depth in his tone to give older songs a new dimension. Far from diminishing the experience, these adjustments often deepen the emotional impact. Songs like A Love I Can Feel gained a reflective weight, resonating with both the singer and the listeners who had lived with the music for decades. The bond with the audience. In his final shows, Holt spoke more to the crowd between songs. He would share brief stories about how a track was written, or recall a performance from years past in that same city. His tone was always conversational, as though speaking to old friends rather than fans. At a 2013 concert in Birmingham, he paused mid-set to thank the audience for keeping the music alive and for letting these songs belong to you. The applause that followed lasted nearly a full minute. Festival highlights. Festival settings in Holt's final years offered unique moments. At Rebel Salute in Jamaica, he performed under a moonlit sky, the breeze carrying his voice across the outdoor venue. Younger artists stood in the wings, watching intently, a quiet acknowledgement of the influence he held. In Europe, Holt's sets often ended with standing ovations, the crowd chanting his name until he returned for an encore. Sometimes it was "The Tide Is High," other times a deep cut that longtime fans knew by heart. Health and determination. In the months leading up to his final performances, Holt's health began to challenge him. There were nights when fatigue showed, and others when he conserved his energy by shortening sets. Yet he refused to compromise on quality. If he stepped on stage, he gave the audience everything he could in that moment. Close friends and musicians noted that performing still energized him, even on difficult days. The connection with the audience, the shared history in the songs, seemed to renew him, if only for the length of the set. The final UK appearances. The One Love Festival in August 2014 became one of Holt's last major UK performances. Reviews described it as both powerful and bittersweet. Critics noted that while the set leaned on familiar material, each song felt fresh in its delivery, as though Holt knew the crowd was listening more closely than usual. Photographs from the night show him smiling warmly, hands outstretched toward the audience. The lighting caught the edges of his suit jacket, framing him in a soft glow that seemed almost symbolic. The final chapter illuminated. In those final performances, John Holt wasn't simply revisiting his past. He was affirming it. Every lyric, every pause between verses, was a thread connecting his earliest days in Greenwich Town to the global stages he had graced. As the last notes faded into applause, he left the stage the same way he had entered it decades earlier, with quiet dignity, letting the music speak for him. Chapter 16. Passing and Tributes. London, October 2014. The stage lights were still cooling from the last of John Holt's performances, just months earlier. In a quiet hospital room, far from the roar of audiences and the glow of festival spotlights, Holt lay surrounded by close family members. His health had been in decline for some time, but few outside his immediate circle knew the extent. Those final days were filled with gentle conversation, shared memories, and music, soft, familiar songs playing quietly in the background. It was in this stillness, in the early hours of October 19, 2014, that John Holt's voice finally went silent. He was 69 years old. The news breaks. Word of Holt's passing reached Jamaica within hours. Radio stations interrupted their regular programming to play his songs, starting with Stick By Me and Police in Helicopter. News anchors spoke his name with a mix of reverence and disbelief. Social media feeds filled with messages from fans who had grown up with his voice. The initial shock quickly gave way to reflection. For many, Holt had been more than a singer. He had been a constant presence, a thread tying together generations through his music. Official statements. In Jamaica, the Ministry of Culture issued a statement honoring Holt's contributions to the island's cultural heritage. John Holt's voice was part of the soundtrack of our national identity, it read. His music carried the spirit of Jamaica across the world and will continue to inspire. Prime Minister Portia Simpson Miller called Holt a treasure whose songs will forever echo the resilience and romance of our people. Musical community reactions. Fellow musicians, from reggae pioneers to young rising stars, shared their memories. Barris Hammond. He showed us that you could sing about love with strength and about struggle with grace. Dennis Brown's family. John was a brother to Dennis in music and in life. We are comforted knowing they will be harmonizing together again. Freddie McGregor. When John walked into a studio, you knew you were about to be part of something that would last forever. Sound system selectors across Jamaica and abroad dedicated entire sets to Holt's catalog, blending his early rocksteady hits with the later roots and lovers rock classics. Public mourning in Jamaica. In Kingston, murals began appearing almost overnight. Painted tributes on walls and shopfronts showing Holt with his microphone, sometimes framed by the colors of the Jamaican flag. A memorial vigil was organized at National Heroes Park, where fans gathered to sing his songs under the open night sky. The atmosphere was a mix of sadness and celebration. Tears fell, but so did the rhythm of drums, reminding everyone that Holt's music was meant to be lived with, not just listened to. Tributes abroad. In London, where Holt had performed many of his most celebrated shows, a tribute concert was quickly organized at the O2 Academy in Brixton. Artists from across the reggae spectrum took the stage, performing Holt's songs in their own styles. Some audiences wept quietly during "The Tide Is High." Others danced to "Ali Baba" with smiles through the tears. In Africa, radio DJs in Ghana and Nigeria aired special programming dedicated to Holt's influence, pointing out how his songs had crossed oceans without losing their authenticity. In Japan, collectors and fans held listening sessions, playing original vinyl pressings late into the night. Media retrospectives. Major newspapers and music magazines published retrospectives, tracing Holt's career from his Greenwich Town childhood to his final performances. The BBC ran a feature segment calling him "the gentleman of reggae," noting his ability to remain both relevant and respected over decades of shifting trends. These tributes often emphasized Holt's balance, the rare ability to dominate romantic ballads and still deliver credible protest anthems, uniting audiences across tastes and generations. The funeral. Holt's funeral was held in Kingston in November 2014, drawing a crowd that filled the church and spilled into the streets. Musicians performed his songs between eulogies from family, friends, and cultural figures. The casket, adorned with flowers, was carried out to the sound of "Stick By Me." Outside, the gathered crowd sang along, their voices rising over the steady heartbeat of drums. Legacy in the aftermath. In the weeks following his passing, radio play of Holt's catalog surged. Record stores reported renewed demand for both his solo albums and Paragon's era releases. Streaming platforms saw spikes in plays, especially from younger listeners discovering him for the first time. A proposal was made to name a Kingston Street in his honor, ensuring that his presence would remain part of the city's daily life. John Holt's passing marked the end of a singular voice in Jamaican music, but not the end of his influence. In the days and nights that followed, his songs rang out from dance halls, car stereos, and living rooms around the world. In grief and gratitude, people sang along, proving that while the man was gone, the music would keep carrying his name, his pride, and his Jamaica into the future. Chapter 17. Legacy and Pride. Kingston Waterfront, present day. The afternoon sun glints off the blue waters of Kingston Harbor. Along the waterfront, a group of young musicians gathers under the shade of an almond tree. They're rehearsing, acoustic guitars in hand, their voices weaving together in harmonies that are unmistakably inspired by the Rocksteady and Lovers Rock eras. One of them leans into the microphone and begins to sing, "Stick by me, I'll stick by you." The words float across the street, and an older man sitting on a bench nearby nods in recognition. He remembers when that song first came out in 1972, remembers hearing it on the radio while walking to work. For these young musicians, the song is history. For him, it's memory. For both, it's John Holt. More than a voice. John Holt's career spanned over 5 decades, yet his music remains present. Not as nostalgia, but as part of the living fabric of Jamaican and global music culture. His voice, rich and steady, carried emotion without excess. He was a master of restraint, allowing the weight of a lyric to carry through clear delivery and precise phrasing. But Holt's impact went beyond the songs themselves. He represented a model of professionalism and longevity in an industry often defined by rapid rise and fall. For young artists, his career is proof that staying true to one's craft, without constant reinvention for trend's sake, can lead to enduring respect. Influence on generations of musicians. From the moment he stepped on stage as a teenager, Holt was shaping the sound of Jamaica. The Paragons introduced a harmony style that would influence vocal groups for decades. His solo work demonstrated the power of a singer-songwriter who could move between love ballads and social commentary without losing credibility in either realm. Artists like Barris Hammond, Gregory Isaacs, and Sanchez have cited Holt as an influence, not just in vocal style, but in the balance between romantic and roots reggae. International acts, including UB40 and Blondie, drew from his catalog, covering his songs and carrying them to audiences far outside the Caribbean. Even in the digital era, reggae producers continue to version Holt's rhythms. Tracks like "Ali Baba" and "Police and Helicopter" are sampled, remixed, and reinterpreted, showing that the foundation he built remains relevant for contemporary listeners. Cultural symbol of Jamaica. Holt's image and voice became cultural markers of Jamaica abroad. At international festivals, when he sang songs like Sweetie Come Brush Me or Let's Build Our Dreams, he wasn't just performing. He was presenting an authentic piece of Jamaican artistry. Tourists returning from the island often carried his music home alongside memories of the beaches and markets, making Holt's voice an unofficial ambassador of the country's warmth and style. In the Jamaican diaspora, particularly in the UK and Canada, Holt's music played at weddings, christenings, and community gatherings. It became part of the soundtrack of immigrant life, a reminder of home. Preservation of the rocksteady tradition. While reggae evolved into roots, dancehall, and beyond, Holt never abandoned the rocksteady sensibility that shaped him. His arrangements favored clarity, the space between instruments, the tightness of the rhythm section, the prominence of the vocals. Music historians often credit Holt with keeping rocksteady's melodic structure alive during the rise of roots reggae in the 1970s. By carrying that sound forward, he ensured that new generations could trace the lineage of Jamaican music from ska to reggae without losing the middle chapter. Educational and archival recognition. In recent years, Holt's work has been the subject of university lectures, musicology papers, and archival projects. The Jamaica Music Museum holds rare recordings, photographs, and stage outfits from his career, preserving them for research and public display. Documentaries on reggae's global journey frequently include Holt's story, noting his crossover success in the UK and his role in shaping the romantic subgenre that became known as lover's rock. Honors and awards. Though Holt was never one to chase accolades, they came naturally over time. He received Jamaica's Order of Distinction for his contributions to the nation's music. Posthumously, he was honored at the Reggae Gold Awards and featured in memorial segments at major reggae festivals worldwide. Plans for a commemorative statue in Kingston have been discussed, with proposals to place it in a public space where both locals and visitors can encounter it daily. Living legacy through the next generation. Family members and protégés have continued Holt's musical lineage. Some have entered the industry directly, performing his songs in tribute or creating original work that draws from his style. In music workshops, young singers study Holt's phrasing, learning how to communicate emotion without over-singing. This approach, sometimes called the Holt discipline, has become part of vocal training in certain Jamaican music programs. Global streams and new audiences. The digital music era has opened Holt's work to entirely new audiences. Streaming platforms place his songs alongside contemporary artists, allowing younger listeners to discover him without the limitations of record stores or radio programming. Analytics show spikes in his catalog plays whenever reggae-themed TV series, films, or commercials feature his music. In this way, his legacy grows quietly, reaching listeners who may not yet know his full story. Pride is the enduring theme. In interviews throughout his career, Holt often spoke about pride, not in an arrogant sense, but as a deep satisfaction in representing his country, his generation, and his style of music with dignity. This pride was evident in his stage presence, in the way he carried himself in public, and in his commitment to the quality of his work. Even when facing health challenges, he insisted on delivering performances that honored both his audience and his own standards. Today, whether in a vinyl collector's library, a streaming playlist, or a live tribute show, John Holt's voice continues to travel. His songs bridge generations, carrying with them the stories, emotions, and rhythms of Jamaica. For those who knew his music when it was new, each note brings back a part of their own history. For those discovering him now, it's an introduction to a standard of artistry that remains rare. And for Jamaica, his legacy stands as both heritage and pride, a reminder that while artists pass on, the truth of their music has no expiration date.